support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
Hey there! From the KUOW Newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Paige Browning. Soaking in this warm sun today and tomorrow before some weekend rain heads our way. Here are today's top stories. It's Thursday, April 18th. We start with politics. The campaign to repeal Washington State's landmark climate law is now facing official opposition. And the parties that want the climate law to stay in place have raised a lot of money. Amy Radel has the report.
A new campaign called No on 2117 says it's raised $11 million to defend the state's Climate Commitment Act. Under that law, the state auctions the right to emit carbon pollution. The proceeds fund transit, alternative energy, and other projects. Supporters of the climate law include philanthropist Bill Gates, environmental groups, tribes, and even companies like Amazon, Microsoft, and the oil company BP. They want voters to reject Initiative 2117 to repeal the state climate program. Republican donor Brian Haywood and his Let's Go Washington campaign are seeking to pass the initiative. They call the state climate law a hidden gas tax. Their initiative is endorsed by the Washington Retail Association. Amy Radel, KUOW News.
Deadly use of force is under investigation today in Seattle. Seattle police officers fatally shot a man inside a hotel yesterday in Tukwila. SPD says they were trying to arrest a person suspected of crimes against children when that person allegedly pulled out a gun. Police say two officers opened fire. One of the officers was also grazed in the leg by a bullet but wasn't seriously hurt. The force investigation team is now taking over the investigation. Is it too hard to demolish a vacant or derelict building in Seattle? Mayor Bruce Harrell thinks so. Under emergency legislation he proposed today, the city would be able to demolish unsafe vacant buildings more quickly. Anne Dornfeld has more.
There were 130 vacant building fires reported in Seattle last year, three of them deadly, and this year, 30 more fires. Fire officials attribute the dramatic increase of derelict buildings catching fire in part to the growing number of homeless people who use the buildings for shelter. Some of the fires have been found to be accidental. Others were deemed arson. The legislation would let the city take steps to secure dangerous vacant buildings or tear them down if the owners do not, then bill the owners. The Seattle Fire Department is already tracking more than 40 vacant buildings that could be affected by the proposed law. The emergency legislation needs a 3/4 vote by the city council and would go into effect immediately. Anne Dornfeld, KUOW News.
An update on the UW football player who was in court today. Running back Tylan Rogers says he's not guilty of the charges that he allegedly raped two women last fall. He entered his plea today, and the UW's football program is facing a lot of questions. Katie Campbell reports.
The 18-year-old running back pleaded not guilty to one count of rape in the second degree, which involves forced compulsion, and one count of rape in the third degree, which is typically associated with date rape. Rogers remains out on bail, but he has been suspended from all football activities. As more details have come out about the case, UW has released a new statement on Rogers' arrest, claiming the charging documents revealed information school officials were not previously aware of. The university says it would have taken additional actions to respond sooner if they had known, according to the statement. Rogers was suspended for one game last season, but allowed to play in the college football playoffs. Katie Campbell, KUOW News.
In environment news today, which is also restaurant news, businesses that use styrofoam food containers have until the end of May to use up their stock. As Ruby DeLuna reports, starting June 1st, Washington will ban the sale and distribution of polystyrene products.
The use and sale of food containers made of expanded polystyrene is the second phase in Washington's styrofoam ban. Last year, the state barred packing peanuts made with that material. Ecology officials say expanded polystyrene products are extremely brittle and non-biodegradable. They're a source of marine pollution. The department says it'll work with businesses to comply with the law, but repeated non-compliance may result in a $250 fine. The law exempts use of styrofoam trays used to pack raw meat, seafood, and vegetables. Washington joins 11 states with similar bans. Ruby DeLuna, KUOW News.
On a nice sunny day across most of Washington, not much rain fell, and the deepening drought has prompted officials to declare a drought emergency for much of Washington state. We're learning what it means for agriculture east of the mountains. Anna King has more.
Spring wheat in Washington is doing all right if it was planted deep into moisture last fall. But wheat that was planted near the surface or dusted in is having a harder time. You can see it driving from the Tri-Cities north to Spokane. Many farmers have had to reseed. The crop is fair, but more warm, dry weather could quickly dry out the tender shoots. In irrigated country, fruit and hay farmers are worried about the cutbacks they'll be facing in several areas, including in Kittitas Reclamation District and the Rosa Irrigation District in the Yakima Valley. Right now, they'll have 63% of their water for the year, but new federal water supply levels come out May 3rd, and many expect their numbers to drop. I'm Anna King.
Finally today, the Seattle Storm have just become the second WNBA team to open a standalone training facility. The Storm joins the newest team, the Las Vegas Aces, as the only teams in the league with their own facilities. The brand new buildings in Seattle's Inner Bay neighborhood, featuring two practice courts, a high-performance training area, therapy pools, and a lounge area for the players. The team had spent more than a decade using a secondary court at Seattle Pacific University as its primary practice gym. The season starts in May. Next time on Seattle Now, our Casual Friday panel dissects a potential Seattle cultural phenomenon. Are you Seattle smug?
I feel like the way I experience this is outdoorsy stuff, because I'm a casual hiker. I'm a casual, I would say, climber, rock climber. And anytime I get into a conversation with someone who's really intense about those hobbies, I feel like I've just walked into a talent show that I didn't know that I was auditioning for.
That's Friday morning on the podcast. And that's a wrap from the KUOW newsroom in Seattle. Our producer is Andy Hurst, and I'm Paige Browning. Seattle Now and KUOW are members of the NPR network. See ya.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's Teen Dance Ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.